grow up, watch TV, like, well, you're supposed to make up because your family and all these different things. And when I hit 30 and I saw how certain people moved in life, period. And then I started watching you like people, I was just like, oh no, the because we're family situation, that's no longer an argument that you can use in my space. It doesn't work.
Yes. Yes.
So this is where it gets heavy, right? I see in a post, I've been seeing a couple of these posts, and because, you know, if you talk around your phone's going to bombard you with all these stuff too, right? But if you yourself have gone through it, if you haven't, you may know someone who has, or there's probably, it's probably goes as far as a second degree. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go that far from where you have someone in your circle who's experienced sexual assault or molestation. And this is where we really want to spark that conversation, because I feel like we, as Black people, grow up in a space of shame. That was something that was put onto us from a slavery perspective. That's something that's put onto us from a religious perspective. And you're supposed to feel shame, and you're supposed to keep your business in your house, right? You're not supposed to go tell your business in the streets, is what you're being told. But I'm having issue, because you're doing that to the detriment of also protecting predators that are within your family. And I don't know what's happening, but, you know, I'm seeing left, right, and center people. What sparked this was seeing a video of a woman saying she finally put her her predator in jail for life after, I think, 20 some odd years of being assaulted. And it ended up being her father, who also fathered her three children.
Yes, I absolutely read that the other day.
And this was a Black woman. Because, you know, we'll be kings of like, oh, well, you know, that wasn't, Black folk don't do that, and Black folks don't do this. But then I start thinking about it. It's just like, oh yeah, there's a lot of those situations where you're just like, oh, don't go around that uncle. You don't leave the kids around that uncle or that aunt or that
when you're around this uncle, you have to put on clothes. You have to that put on part. Long pants.
Yes. What is that? Like, why are we protecting these predators? Because they're family?
Yeah.
Like, this needs to be denounced. This is an issue. And this is why it keeps on going for generation and generation.
Yeah.
And then you're hushing the victim.
Yeah.
And you're creating more shame in the victim instead of empowering them for coming and tell you things. And when they come tell you things where you're just like, yeah, well, that's how that person is. Just don't go around them when, you know, when you're alone and all that. That's like, that's...
Patterns and pathology. It's sad that for some, that it's a way of life, and they take on what was or what is easier for them to cope with those things. And then because it is a vicious cycle, when it happens around them, it's almost like they hand over the baton of bad tools.
Right. You said something there about coping, which is interesting, because I do feel like when this type of stuff used to happen in a certain era and you didn't have the resources, if you were a mother who didn't work and you had to stay in that relationship because XYZ, you created these coping mechanisms of just like, well, this is how we have to survive, right? But that's that, like, we shouldn't have to survive in life. We should be able to live.
Yes.
You know?
When I say coping, a big part of that comes from my own experience and just understanding how things like that happen and why people mask and cover up for. If someone molests, a lot of the time, if you look at the history of it, they are probably molested also.
That happens as well, yeah, for sure.
And it's not always the case.
No.
It is not always the case.
And it's not an excuse.
And it's not an excuse. But a lot of the time, I think that's what people tend to look at. And so when you see them hovering around the molester, trying to pacify them, to make them comfortable so that they don't do... trying to show them extra love. Like, listen, you see, we love you, right? Please don't do this. We don't want to have to get rid of you. We don't want to cast you out. But we will if you do this again.
But I find that the "we will" part never comes, or it hasn't. Didn't used to come.
Well,
I think it's happening a little more and more today.
Right.
But nah, I'm like, it's time. It's time to out them.
Yeah, for absolutely. I experienced something when I was younger, watching my own family dynamics, where my aunt married a man who she never had biological children with, but he wanted to adopt, and then he touched the children.
Yeah.
Later on in life, he raised them as his children, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Later on in life, they still call him dad. So when he gets too old to care for himself, now they have to take care of him.
Ain't no way.
And they have children.
Yeah.
And then you have to be fearful about them around those children and the kids that your kids play with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so now anyone could be a victim. So through hearing different little things, his child said to them, well, now you're living in my house. I want you to understand I have children, but if you touch my children, I'm going to kill you. And so he never touched their children, but he molested all of the children in the neighborhood.
And okay, you got to save your children. But if this man was where he needed to be,
he wouldn't have access to any.
And you wouldn't be potentially creating
More molesters. Okay.
Kaya, listen, we got about like a little over 5 minutes in this
segment. We're not harboring any of this.
No, for sure.
We're not harboring any of this anymore. We got to put it out there. We got to start talking. And you know, and this is what it is for me, honestly. And I'm not trying to tell nobody like get on, because it is what it is. Yeah. But Christmas dinner, if the molester is there, just start throwing mashed potatoes. Get a good handful of it. Throw it in his face. Stop. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, for me, that's how I feel like. You get out.
Start putting people out.
Start speaking 100%. Your piece. Start saying what's up. Start saying what it is. And really, that's how I feel about it. Start saying what it is. Because you could be saving so many people.
So many lives. So I definitely don't want to end this segment with just talking about all the negative and the bad, right? So, let's talk about your person. So your person, you know, everybody has a person, right? Or maybe persons, right? So tell me a bit about who your person is, whether it's a friend or a family.
It's crazy. It's hard for me to say because I have so many people in my life that are just dear to me. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to break it down to say, oh, I just love this one person so much. Actually, they all get on my nerves. I just want y'all to know, if y'all listening today, y'all get on my nerves. But I love y'all, but I just want y'all to know y'all all my people. In real life, I love them all.
Well, that's because that's you, Gemini, right? So they get rid of the nerve of one of the twins.
Yeah.
The twin loves them.
I love them to death, right? Yeah. So it's like definitely the duality for me. So yeah, I know. I honestly, you know what's so crazy? As long as they allow me to love them the way that I know how.
Yeah.
They my people. And it is what it is, you know? And those are the ones that show up and they be like, I know you ain't want to see me today, but can I come in? I be like, yeah, come on in here. And don't say nothing when you come in here either, because I got an attitude. And why you don't got on no bra, Kaya? Jeez, you just gonna walk around with no shirt on all day? I be like, mind your business or close your eyes in my house. Them my peoples. Yep. So
I mirror that. I have a lot of people in my life, and I do have my go-to people, but I'm gonna tell you guys right now, and this is for anyone listening who you think you my people. My person is my little niece, man.
Yeah.
That one right there. We lived another life together. Cause that's my person.
Yeah.
She like, cause I could be going through things. It's like, I need to FaceTime her because I need a pick me upper and all that. And she will get me every time. Mm-hmm. Like, and the other day, so it was picture day a couple weeks back, So I'm FaceTiming, and then she's just like, Auntie Gigi, say cheese. And she's doing, like, the little finger things. Aww. Where you put the fingers together and, yes, like, through FaceTime.
Yes.
And so I had to, like, stop and, like, pose for a picture. Aww. That never really happened.
Yes.
She's just that. Like, say cheese. I was like, oh, you're my person. And my sister says that, too. So, like, my nephew, like, his person, and when I say, like, the adult person is, mm-hmm, his auntie Nanai, so my sister Naomi. Because they're gamers together, and so they connect there.
Mm-hmm.
But me and that little one, though, me and Millie, we go together. Like, that's my person. That is a person who can take me out of any anger situation or whatnot. And you need that. You need that. She's actually my back picture too on my phone too. That's my
girl. I love that. And just for the record, we want y'all to know this. I don't care how gangster you are. When the child passes you the play phone and says it's for you, you answer the phone. When they put up the fake camera and be like, say cheese, you smile and pose here. Because, yeah, because they the boss in real life.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Just do what they say do.
And I'll say this, because you alluded to it as well, like coming up with a lot of siblings in, mm-hmm, life. I think we've had the blessing of coming from big families, mm-hmm, and sometimes it's a curse. Don't get me wrong. There's part of that where I'm just like, I could have used being a smaller group of folk, but the beauty about coming from a big family and having a lot of siblings. So I have 10, and you know, no matter what, you'll always have friends because of that, right? It's a little background music we got going on here.
I'm so sorry. This is what happens when you have two phones.
One for the put,
I am
one
so
for the
sorry, low. You guys. I usually shut them both off. Sorry, G. Oh my gosh.
So yeah, I have to say, growing up with a big family was definitely a blessing. More of a blessing than me. There's definitely some frustration in there, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, me too. Me too. In real life, it just, I feel like you just have so many more go-tos. You know,
yeah.
You have so many more outlets. I feel sorry for only children. Truly do.
Yeah,
I truly do. It saddens me. Like, I have some family members who have only had one child.
Yeah,
and because their child doesn't get to have those interactions, it almost feels like, you know, that when they say only child syndrome, it really is real, because they don't have the interactions to let them know when they're wrong. People that challenge them, mm-hmm, and never being challenged, never having anyone really, yep, tell you that you're wrong. They always think that they're right.
And their parents, same space, right? Because it's, yes, different when you're hearing it from an adult versus someone, because you can have a lot of cousins and all these things too, but there's something different with having someone in your everyday life,
yes,
that's gonna tell you, like, hey, you need to share,
yes,
hey, that ain't right, hey, you hurt my, that's feelings,
right,
and
that's
all that.
Right, so yeah, their parents almost become like their allies in the bull.
Yeah,
so it's kind of difficult, especially when you're coming from a large group of siblings, and trying to interact with one that may come just by themselves.
Yes.
So when things happen, they turn victim. It's like, oh, I feel attacked. There's too many of you guys. I don't know how to process an argument. Okay, so now it's several of us having an argument, but they can't process.
Yeah.
So it turns into the victim thing. So I feel sad for those who only have. I always encourage people, listen, if you're going to, don't wait too long to have another, because if you have them too far apart, they almost come like only children too.
Yeah, times
so
two.
Now you have two only children in, yeah, the house, and it's weird, right? So now you got to beat both of them. Like, it's crazy.
And don't get me wrong, if I understand the situations where you can only have, you only had one child, it was difficult, like you try, mm-hmm, like, so we're not coming for you, but if you can, let it be two.
Yeah, because
more,
they need somebody to have that with. And it teaches them humility. It teaches them compassion. It teaches them, yeah, empathy. And a lot of people I find that are only children, they lack that. And I'm sad for them in those situations, because it's very hard for them to keep friends and keep real relationships, because they just don't know how to deal.
Yeah.
You know, so, and it's
and a
sad.
Whole other can of worms in terms of the parents, especially that being their only child. Because, you know, the first child, it's like you mm-hmm, treat them like they're like rare china, you know, like, don't, you're going to break, you're going to this, you got all this. By the second child, by the third child, by the fourth and so on, you're just like, they'll be all right.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, yes, like, if you never have a second child or more to have to kind of switch into that, like, oh, children are more resilient than you think.
Yes.
Well, they're going to grow up thinking that, you know, they're precious stones and, like, yes, you know, you can crack at the slightest.
Right.
You know.
Right. They always have to be protected. It's weird.
But again, do what you can in life, but it just makes it easier when there's two of them. And even, yeah, as parents, by the way, when there's two of them, then they start entertaining each other. And then you don't have to be.
It makes it so much easier. I can remember. Listen, my mother tried a long time to have a kid after me. And my sister only came like 7 years after me. Mm. And then another one came 13 months after her. Mm. And then another one came like 2 years later, 3 years later. So, but when they came, at first, I didn't like the first one too. I was like, okay, you know what? Get on my hip. I'll take you. And when the second one came, I said, you know what? I could put them together.
Yep.
Y'all go together. And then they were together and it was wonderful. And I used to be in the room like, I had 15 whole minutes of quiet. This is amazing. And then another one came. Then I had 30 minutes and 40 minutes by myself. I was like, oh, I like this. You get one more of these MFers. I'm going to tell you, we're going to be living life around here. They're going to be washing dishes. I'm going to teach them how to buff the floors.
Do all that.
No, but that's what it's good for in real life. Teach them how. And you know what? If you have only one child, raise them with their cousins. Make sure, yes, you take them daily and let them be with their cousins and stuff. And when they fight, don't be acting like your child is always right. Make sure you make them understand, you know, right from wrong and truly. Because, you know, sometimes people who only have one child feel like they have to protect them with their whole heart, right? Obviously, yep. But allow your child to have some real experiences, because later on they end up looking crazy in these streets. So please.
Absolutely.
Raise them together. Let them have some fights and, yeah, train them up.
Well, that was our friends and family segment, ladies and gentlemen. I hope that you enjoyed it and that it's going to create the talk tracks that we hope that it will. But for now, I'm sure you're tired of hearing us. we're gonna get into a musical break, and then we'll have Tammy T give us the news. What's going on?
What's going on? This is Russ.
I know I'm fine.
Russ.
But the money makes me handsome.
The Journey is Everything Tour.
I seduce you, babe.
Saturday, May 28th, Place Bell. Russ. With special guests, Boogies and Caitlin. Tickets on sale now at evenko.ca. Russ, the Journey is Everything Tour.
And the fans are asking for it, they're loving it.
What they want, what they want, what they want.
Mixing it down.
Down.
It's DJ K-Quick.
Pushing on me right back,
all of it.
Every move that you make, every step that you take, make me want you more and more. You know I adore why you making me wait. Where you been all my life?
All of me.
Just the kind that I like.
All of me.
I've been thinking after we done drinking, we should both be linking. And
squad, this year we doing it dread. Last place you want
Something must be wrong. Yeah, I just wanted to let you know.
Let you know
that. I love to fake and just let go.
Just let go.
What y'all get wine and touch them too. Party animal. I just wanted to let you know,
let you know
I love to fade and just let go.
Just let go.
What y'all get wine and touch them too.
We have some got you
know. Remind me how your wine and go down.
We have some got you know.
How long we ain't go to a fat? How long we ain't dripping sweat? How long we ain't drink so much till the next day? Forget, this feel like short girl, like a midget. So don't waste time, girl, don't hesitate. And I can't wait to blow up this team and make new memories in the fed. So long, now we align. Whole time we inside. Long, long kill the vibe, the vibe. And now is the time to unite. Make we fire ignite. So we go party all night. For all this pressure we've been through.
We have some that you love to.
So long now I ain't jam on you.
We have some that you love to.
Know that we have some freedom.
We have some that you love to.
Remind me of your wine and go down.
We have some that you love to do.
How long we ain't go a boat ride? How long you ain't wine to decide? Make my body heat and your body heat. Just come closer and collide. It's feeling so good I can't lie. Tonight baby just you and I. The Gavex with me. If we just want to fat and have a good time. Long, now we align. Whole time we inside. Long, don't kill the vibe.
But no other woman could not take your place. What I have a chemistry that will send me back to thee. Send me back to thee. It's only me and you to do. So do what you wanna do. Stick up on me like glue. The day you get you to do. So do what you wanna do. Stick on me like glue. Hey. Give me your heart. Show me your soul. Block out the world. It's just you and me, girl. When the music plays, you could have your way. Forget what people say. Plenty fish in the sea, but there's only one for me.
DJ K Quick Live. What it do, Empower Our listeners? It is your homegirl, Tammy, and I am coming through with the weekly news recap. Now, I hope y'all enjoyed your week. It was super hot. It was beautiful temperature. I hope you all got outside, got some sun rays, lifted your energy and vibration. Please also remember to stay hydrated, okay? Because heat stroke can really come about fast. So make sure you are not being in the direct sun for too long and that you drink in your water, okay? For those who want to link up with me during the week, you guys can do so on Instagram at Tammy Tuesdays. Do not forget the Z at the end. As usual, I always got so much to say and so little time, so let's get right to it, right? Now, mask mandates are done with. Now, I don't know how you guys feel about that. Me personally, I'm excited. I'm happy. I was so over the masks. I mean, listen, I think it's important for people to see people's facial expressions. I think it's part of communication, right? Social communication. It's important for kids to be able to see the expressions, etc. I just think, listen, as humans, we need to see each other's faces, right? However, I do understand if some people still want to wear the mask because they feel that they are protecting themselves and or protecting others. And guess what? That is 100% fine. Do whatever you feel comfortable with, and you don't have to explain it to anybody. You know, if you want to keep your mask on, go ahead and keep your mask on. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's completely fine. And actually, the Order of Pharmacists in Quebec is actually calling to the public to keep their masks on when they come to the pharmacy. They said that those that literally work in the pharmacy will be keeping their masks on because basically they want to protect themselves. They want to protect others that come there. Usually they are people that are more vulnerable in what pertains to their health. You know, a lot of them are elderly, so they just want to protect the general population. So they are calling on the general public to keep the masks on when they need to go to that section in the, you know, Jean Coutu, Farmer Pre, Family Pre, Brunet, etc., right? But again, the mask mandates are done, so you do not have to wear it. You can if you want to. Which brings me to my other subject, right? The pandemic has been hard on everyone. There's no doubt about that, right? We are also seeing the collateral damage, if we can say it like that, of the pandemic, right? Inflation is at an all-time high. Times are hard for a lot of people. People are literally affected by this. And since the beginning of 2022, many nonprofit organizations, community organizations have been rallying and protesting because of the lack of funds that are given to them to be able to sustain their activities, right? Mainly to pay employees, right? Because without funds, these organizations are literally unable to function and help those that are the most in need. Now, the provincial government heard the cries, right? And basically, they promised $1.1 billion to community and nonprofit organizations, right? To help them continue their activities, pay employees, etc., etc. But now here is the problem, y'all. $888 million of those funds should be made available by 2026 to 2027. We are in 2022. We are talking about 4 to 5 years away. Up until then, what are these organizations going to do? We have been seeing it. Many organizations, so community organizations, nonprofit organizations, are closing their doors because they are unable to sustain activities. But yet, though, the government has time to campaign. The government has money to campaign as well. The government has time and money to put into COVID and vaccination publicities. And it's just mind-boggling to me that it's going to take about 4 to 5 years in order for these community organizations to get funding. And even then, what I'm wondering is how much of the melanated community is going to get funded? How much of Anglophone organizations are going to get funded, right? So what are we to do up until then? We are seeing it right now. A lot of community organizations are closing. A lot of nonprofit organizations are closing. And a lot of these are really outreach programs. So that are helping, you know, those that are homeless, that are helping single mothers, that are helping drug addicts, that are, you know, helping incarcerated people that are reintegrating into society. A lot of these community organizations are closing. So what are we as a community going to do? That is the $1 million question, right? And the answer to that is make your vote count. There is the provincial elections in October. Make sure you vote, and make sure you vote with a purpose, right? We need to start getting involved. We need to start getting informed into what these political parties are about. What is their plan? What are their values? What are they planning on doing? We need to get informed, which brings me to my next subject. This weekend, there was a protest against Bill 96. The leader of the Provincial Liberal Party, Madame Dominique Anglade, was present. She did speak, although I do not share her political views. It was very nice to see her present on site protesting along with the citizens. And again, Bill 96, I spoke about it last week. I'm going to keep talking about it. I've been talking about it on my Instagram. It is a dangerous bill, not only for Anglophones in what pertains to our education, but also for us as a whole, because I don't know if you guys are aware, but Bill 96 plans on making it illegal to officially communicate in English. So, for example, if you are an Anglophone and your French is not really up to par, it's you can understand a little bit, but not enough to sign legal documents, or not enough to give, you know, an informed consent for a medical procedure, it's going to be a problem because it will not be legal for doctors to inform you in English, right? It is to make legal communication in English illegal. That's the crazy thing, right? So Bill 96 is dangerous, and this is exactly why we need to pay attention and why we need to make sure our vote counts. Now, with that said, I don't know if Bill 96 is going to pass. I'm hoping it doesn't, but the way it's looking, I think Bill 96 is going to pass. It has a great chance of passing. Not enough people are protesting. Not enough people are communicating, you know, with their municipal deputies. Not enough people are voicing their anger on Bill 96. I say it all the time. I'm going to say it again. Your voice matters. Your voice holds weight. Your vote matters, and your vote holds weight, right? Now, I can continue talking about this for hours. I just want to end my new segment with this, okay? Just the importance of getting aware of what is going on politically, okay? Every time there's an election, there is always an English debate, right, of the leaders of each political party. This year, our current government, right, which is le gouvernement of François Legault, right? He is with La CAQ. He refused to participate in the English debate this year. Now, listen to this. The leader of the Parti Québécois, his name is Monsieur Paul Saint-Pierre Plamondon. And I am going to quote him right now because this is how disgusting it is, okay? So he said, "The Parti Québécois will not participate in the English leaders debate. The official and common language in Quebec is French. We will, of course, be available to answer English journalists' questions." This man really went on to say the official language in Quebec is French. forgetting that he is in an English country, right? So there's going to be no English debate this year, which is very problematic because the information is not readily available for Anglophones, right? Which makes the English debate that much more important, right? Because that is where the Anglophone people who do not have the level of French to understand the French debate, that is where they will make their informed decision on who to vote for. But now the English debate is canceled because these two leaders said they refuse to participate in the English debate, right? So again, in October of 2022, there are the provincial elections. You already know where I'm going with this. It is time for each and every one of us to make sure our vote counts, okay? So on that note, my time is up. Make sure you connect with me on Instagram at Tammy Tuesdays. Do not forget the Z at the end. And if you guys want to talk politics, please make sure you hit me up. We can discuss about all the political parties, what they stand on. I'm going to be doing lives starting shortly. There will also be information on my Instagram because you know what? Clearly, they are not trying to give the information to us. So you know what? We're going to have to share it amongst ourselves, okay? But again, one thing for sure in October, what are we going to do? We are going to vote. And we are going to make sure our vote counts, right? So on that note, my time is up. Have a blessed week. And I will talk to y'all soon. Peace.
Yo, what's going on? This is Russ.
I know I'm fine.
Russ.
But the money makes me handsome.
The Journey is Everything Tour.
I'll seduce you, babe.
Saturday, May 28th, Place Bell.
Got the best song, yeah.
Russ. The special guests, Boogies and Caitlin. Tickets on sale now at evenko.ca. Russ, The Journey is Everything Tour.
And the fans are asking for it. They're loving it.
What they want, what they want, what they want.
Yes, so that was Tammy T, always coming through with the good good for the good goods. Let me tell you. So, Tammy T, we just want to say thank you for always bringing us the information and keeping us informed, Queen. You are everything. We love you. Thank you for the segments. Thank you for it because we need this, and the people are giving great feedback about what you're doing. Thank you so much for being you and always keeping it real, because we know said Tammy T is under fire on all social media. Yep. They don't know what to do with this young lady, but I can see her going very far. So let's give it up for the Oprah of Montreal, because she's about to shake it loose.
And she's here for the English people, because they're attacking the English Montrealers or English Quebec. So thank you for that, Tammy. That was some important information and to make sure that we don't lose our rights.
Yes.
Listen in and keep.
Yes, and make sure you follow her on social media and watch her videos where she's, because some of the videos they take down. So when you see her go live, make sure you go and watch and listen to what she's saying when she's saying it, because the sister be having a lot of good information for us. Mm-hmm. So segueing into our entertainment segment, we had touched last week about touched on the Met Gala and, how wonderful, how beautiful it was, and how there was the hits and misses. But there's so much buzz around these different Met Galas and stuff like that. We talked about how much a ticket cost. Didn't we talk about?
No, how much does a ticket cost?
So a ticket for the Met Gala is somewhere around $40,000, and then to be seated at a table is anywhere between $100,000 and $400,000, but depending on where your table is. And
wait, so if you get a ticket, you don't, that doesn't mean you automatically get a table?
You, if you are being sponsored by a designer who wants you to wear their stuff, then you get a seat at a table.
Oh. Okay.
Because a table costs set amount, and that would be for the designer's stars that they are using to expose their wares.
But
so the people,
isn't it just stars that go to the Met Gala, or like just it's, isn't it just the, well, obviously it's the rich folk,
right? It's all the upper crust, but they are designers, and the designers, it's really a big fashion show, right? So giving ode to the designers, but the designers are charged between $100,000 and $400,000 for tables.
Okay.
And then the whoever walks for them, those tickets cost $40,000.
Okay.
Right. So We were talking about Cardi B. Cardi B having on Donatella Versace's dress. Mm-hmm. Well, in order for her to be there, it cost somewhere in the upward $150,000 to get Cardi B just to come. And that's just for her ticket and the table, not for her to be present.
Oh, because you feel like they also pay like the attendance, like, or the appearance?
Oh, you must. Jeez. You must.
Because I thought it was like kind of like supposed to be an honor to be invited to the Met Gala. Because nah. I did, I heard Hailey Bailey, was it Chloe Bailey? No, Chloe.
Chloe.
Yeah, Chloe Bailey. Chloe? She was talking about it, mm-hmm. how she was going this year. But she also told me like that you can't do a plus one. So it's kind of like, it feels like it's invite only.
Right. And it's a lot of money on a table.
Okay.
It's a lot of money on a table. So I'm watching some of the clips and I wanted to talk about Janelle Monáe. Mm-hmm. So Janelle Monáe was very, very au couture, but she had a twist to her outfit that a lot of people couldn't quite understand. So she wore a sleeveless dress and she had all of her armpit hair intact. And it's almost as if she was modeling the armpit hair.
Was she walking around with her hands in the air?
She made sure that they could see the armpit hair in every photo that she took. So I come to realize that wearing your hair is now a fashion statement. So I went and I Googled some stuff and I seen some girls who were actually bleaching their armpit hair blonde and then turning it colors, purple, blue, and stuff like that. And they're matching it with their hair. It's crazy. I'm tripping right now. So this is a new accessory where we found out from the Met Gala where they're paying $150,000 to walk with underarm hair. You hear me? Listen, it's Hollywood.
I can't really go with the growing of the hair myself. Like that's just, I be waxing, but, I mean, the hair's got to be there for a reason. Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, men don't have to do a lot of things, but men don't wax, or some of them do, and actually swimmers, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, like the hair is there for a reason.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes. I agree. I do believe it's there for a reason. However, lot of mercy.
Yeah, trust.
But now I wear mine. I'm just going to tell you now, I'm not wearing mine out.
I have moments where I have to let it grow out so I can go get waxed. But even that, I'm just like, all right, like,
yeah,
I'm ready to go. I feel like a bush monkey.
I want to understand the psychology behind it when they start making us feel like having hair
is
bad.
I know, even from the legs and everything. Like I don't know. It's the beauty standards that were put on us at the end of the day.
Who did that to us?
Western world. What can you say?
Ciao. Anyway, so it's just certain things that I guess the norm is no longer the norm, and we have new standards for beauty. So just keep your eyes open for the things that are going on because. Rawr.
Well, I love that, but I love the concept of that, like breaking down the standards of beauty.
Mm-hmm. So, in the name of breaking down the standards of beauty, Meg Thee Stallion, you know, I always talk about her because she actually has my boyfriend. Because Partisan Fontaine is really my man. Now, I'm not going to do it because I'm not blocking him like I blocked Toby Nigwe because he's married. But Partisan is not married. And until he's married, he's a single man. So, I'm looking. But Megan Thee Stallion was being bounced around in the club and by her boyfriend, and everybody is just raving about how strong this man is, and pretty much Megan Thee Stallion, because they're saying, you know, she's a big girl. I just want to clarify some things about the standards when it comes to weight. Okay, Meg Thee Stallion is like 5'10" or something like that at 100 and I think she's 160 or 180 pounds.
What? No, that's not a big girl. She might be a tall girl.
That's big for Hollywood standards.
Okay, so she's tall, but that's not a big girl.
Right. Canada's Toronto's Fluffy, Flaws of Couture, Sasha Gay Reddick got the people together this week, all the way together, in regards to this fat phobia thing they got going on. So they're like pretty much like, Meg is not really a big girl, and this is what you're considering a big girl by this standard, but she's not really even really a big girl, right? But they're honestly, I just feel like the publication that was surrounding it was trying to make big girls feel bad about their size, like to pretty much demonize right. us, demonize our bodies, having us feel like, well, you know, they'll never be able to have someone to pick you up like this and bounce you around in the club because you're too big. Well, I wanted to talk about this because I feel like the people are really out of their minds right now. First of all, I am right now the heaviest that I've ever been at 312 pounds. No joke. At 5'8". And I don't go with guys unless they could pick me up.
Right.
Can you bounce me around in place? No? Or then you can't go with me. You're going to have to be strong. Hit the gym. Because I'm not... You're going to do me like you did Meg. Straight right. like that. Do me like Party do Meg. Straight. So I just want us to get this together as the big... Because the big girls are really out here struggling right now in the dating game. We are having a hard time right now. And I feel like it's because we have such false images about what weight and our... perspective of what beauty is. Like, we really having a go at it right now, and we are beautiful women, mm-hmm. shapely, and we make people feel comfortable and good. Like, I've never seen a fat girl that didn't make me just smile and be like, hey girl. And you know that we're just so pleasant and so wonderful. I don't know why they demonize us like this, but I want us to know that we could keep our heads up, still be sexy, still be all of those things, and don't feel no way if the guy can't pick you up. Put him in the gym. He won't work at it. Work at it every day. You're going to be his, you know, when you get a pair of jeans that you can't fit in,
right?
And you try them on every now and again. This is every week, you're going to get him to try and pick you up a little bit. It's going to be goals, weightlifting goals. And this is what it is. So I don't want us to be out here demonizing ourselves. Just know that you too can have this life. So I just want to just clarify so that we understand. Meg is 5'10 and Party is 6'4. So people are looking at this relationship and they're not understanding what they're looking at. So no, it's not that Meg is all big and whatever the case may be, or she's a smaller plus size girl or whatever they're trying to call it. Listen to me. It ain't got nothing to do with that. It got to do with the fact that her man is that dude.
Right.
Straight. So let's stop demonizing the women and talking about their size and why he was able to toss her around. He was able to do that because he's that guy, not because she's a big girl or she's too big or whatever the case may be. Know this.
I want to say this to say that I don't know, because the way I'm seeing things on the timeline, I'm seeing all these big girls getting all these muscular, mm-hmm. big arm dudes. Like the timeline, that's what the timeline's showing. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, love the skin you're in, and as long as you're reflecting that confidence, mm-hmm. they shall come. So don't worry about what the people them say.
Amen. Amen. So, Jesse Williams. Did you see this Jesse Williams Broadway play?
I didn't.
Where the brother got all the way naked?
He did he?
Listen, child, they say Jesse Williams is packing. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, he definitely gives that BLE. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
BDE, I mean.
Yeah.
I say BLE, that's why he's for someone else. But Jesse can get it.
Yeah, he's...
And this is Broadway where?
This is, it's a Broadway musical that he did.
So he does that on a regular basis?
Yeah, I can look into this a little bit more, but yeah. Okay. They say that they're looking for tickets right now, trying to get into this show, because they say that the brother has a shower scene on stage where he gets completely, completely nude. So I'm just waiting for someone to leak the video. They're only showing it from like the navel up.
Okay.
But I cannot wait to get a glimpse. I'm not gonna lie, I'm a perv. I don't care. I want to see it. I want to see it in real life. I don't want to see it in real life, but I do want to see it, whatever they got to see.
Is this why he because I know that they had his whole goodbye out of Grey's Anatomy, and I'm way behind on Grey's Anatomy, but wow. I didn't realize that because he was moving on to Broadway, I guess. Mm-hmm. Good on him. He's a really good dude throughout, you know what I mean? And he rides for the black folk too. So he's an activist and all that. So
yes, he is.
To Jesse.
Yes, he is.
And he grew up that way too, right? So his parents were activists too. Yeah.
I love that. Beautiful man. Beautiful. Gorgeous. Papoose and Remy Ma celebrated 14 years of marriage.
Ooh, yes.
Shout out to Black Love. So, to a couple of days ago, Papoose and Remy Ma celebrated 14 years of marriage. And for those of you who know, while Remy Ma was in prison for 7.5 years, Papoose held it down, took care of her son, along with his child, and pretty much raised them while she was inside. He took care of all the bills and made sure that when she came out, that there was money on the table,
yep,
and that there were deals for her and music opportunities. So we want to give a shout out to Black Love just because, yes, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I have to talk about this a little bit because people don't understand what's really, like, what love really, really is about. And love, true love, is unconditional.
Yeah.
I can remember when I was in prison and coming out to go to work on a day. And it was visitation day. And I can remember looking over across the yard and the men's lineup for the visitation was outside the prison and around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman's lineup didn't even have one person.
Yeah.
Not even one person. So I want to shout out men who stick with their women no matter what, through the thick and the thin. To the men who support their women the way that their women support them and everyone, yeah, else around them. When I look at this love, it gives me hope that there is a love out there for each and every one of us like this.
Mm-hmm.
It just really takes understanding and knowing and loving your partner wholeheartedly. So I just want to send some real, real love to this couple. And thank you for being such a good example for us because, whew.
Yeah. Yep. That's hashtag goals right there. I mean, like, hopefully you don't have to go through the whole adversities that they went through, but that's when you know.
Yeah.
That's when you know it's real.
Yeah.
And, like, shout out to the men who raise children who are not their biological children. Because women do it all the time. But shout out to you men who step in where it's needed. Russell, I'm talking to you.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Is he phenomenal?
It's...
Yep.
Yeah.
Me too, girl.
Mm-hmm.
So another couple who I kind of stay away from them a little bit just because their union kind of bothered me in the beginning just because it was so public. Not that it's my business, but they made it public. But Swiss Beatz and Alicia Keys.
Yeah, I heard some of that.
Yeah, because, you know, she went into the studio in Swiss Beatz and Mashonda's home to record an album. And what she required, because the studio is made like it's a full house downstairs, she required that she stay in the studio for 3 months straight. And they
I didn't know that story.
Yeah, so he has the studio in his home. They went down in the studio to create an album. 3 months later, she comes out of the studio, surfaces out from her basement, and Swiss has all of his stuff packed up. And he's leaving with Alicia Keys, pretty much like, this is the end of us. And he didn't even really leave. He just left out of the home with her. But after a couple of months, Mashonda received paperwork from the court saying that they were to be out of the house within a couple of days.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's coming back to me.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was, like, where the story started, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I don't like to touch on them too much, but there's something that I seen that was very, very interesting. There's a story that Swiss Beatz and Alicia Keys tell on a podcast that they did, talking about where Alicia Keys turned down a $9 million deal for a 9-minute gig, mm-hmm, to spend time with Swiss instead. Don't try this at home, y'all.
and maybe it's because they're both multimillionaires that in my head I was just like, okay, maybe it was like in her head she's like, I can make that $9 million somewhere else. Because I literally, when I saw it, when I heard it, I was like, I sat there, I was just like, would I have said no? Right? And I think because I know they were on a podcast and I seen it from somebody else, kind of one of those react videos, and they're just like, I've been like, nah, babe, it's okay. Go do the 9 minutes yes. and XYZ. But his response to it was that she was basically laying the ground rules that she can't be bought, right? That there was no amount of mm-hmm. money that you can buy. And like when I'm ready and when I'm performing and when I'm working, I'll be there for you. But right now I'm honing in on this relationship because that relationship means that much to her. Mm-hmm. But again, I feel like that's an answer that I can give when I'm already a multimillionaire.
Right.
Because right now, today, if you tell me if I'm there dating somebody and we're on a date and you're just like, I got 9 milli for you for 9 minutes. I'm like, well, what I got to do? I'm going to ask what I got to do first.
I got $900 for you for nine minutes, Kaya. Are you coming? Baby, I'm going to be back in 25 minutes.
I'll be right back. BRB.
In real life, what yeah. I look like? Crazy? Man, please. I'm going to cry and I'm made back. That is the problem. I'm not. Not me.
No, yeah.
Not me. So, Lord.
That's a lot going on in the celebrity world.
Yes, it's a lot. It's a lot going on. So, I'm going to go and sit down and take a listen. But they say that Bambi, also known as the Bam, Lil Scrappy's baby mama and wife, mm-hmm. Is now rapping.
But she was a rapper before.
I didn't know that.
Yep. Yeah, because she came from Basketball Wives.
Right.
Right. So she was a rapper before she got with Scrappy and all that. And I don't, you know, Mona be out there. Well, I don't think Mona's behind Basketball Wives or whatever, but next thing you know, she's on Love and Hip Hop.
Uh-huh.
But no, Bammy was a rapper beforehand.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. I'm going to give it a listen and see what it sounds like. I'm wishing Bambi all the best because she got one of the most whatless McCown understand what she had to do with Scrappy. Scrappy is cute and he got nice veneers, but that's about it. And he got the craziest mama on earth. Like, what is y'all going to do with Mama
she's
D?
She's insane, yes. Her music needs to... Mm.
So speaking of Basketball Wives, Real Housewives of Atlanta, Love and Hip Hop. So we know we can merge the basketball and the Love and Hip Hop because Mimi Faust and her ex fiance Ty, I guess you can call her ex-fiance, is now her new fiance again because they done got back together. Oh. They've been spotted on vacation doing the most on the dance floor. I don't know. I like Ty. I don't know what's going on, but they look crazy right now. Ty is bouncing her around like they party and Meg. I'm confused. I really don't even know what I'm looking at right now.
I'm okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say this.
It's quite the spectacle.
I've been off Love and Hip Hop for many, many, many years now, and I got off of Basketball Wives for many years, and I just let go of Real Housewives as well. Like, I think the last iteration, it was Atlanta and or Potomac, and I was just like, nah, y'all really just making black women on here looking real corny, and I was over it. So
feel you
yeah. Y'all making us look, and the thing is, it's the carbon copy of it's always the same scenario in every
Bidding a good morning to you all, I'm Jerry Goodfriend, welcoming you to Folk Directions, a program of music based in and influenced by tradition, here on CKUT Radio, 90.3 FM in Montreal, streamed and archived on the World Wide Web at ckutfolk.com.